applicant should also submit the declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, both supporters and opponents of the proposed variance, will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. If there is any public testimony in opposition to a proposed variance, the applicant is allowed 3 minutes for rebuttal. I may ask questions of the applicant or members of the public during their testimony. At the end of the item, I may close the public hearing and take the matter under advisement. I may continue the item to a future date, or I may indicate my action on the item today. Items listed on the consent calendar are matters considered routine by the zoning administrator, and if anyone would like to speak on one of those items, you please stand up when that item is called. Otherwise, it will be considered to be granted. There are currently 3 items listed on the consent calendar today. Public comment at the end of the hearing shall be followed for items not on the agenda. Members of the public are allowed 3 minutes each to speak at that time. Regarding the criteria to justify a variance, Section 305C of the Planning Code states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following 5 findings. Finding 1, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding 2, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of the specified provisions of the Planning Code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding 3, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding 4, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finding 5, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the Planning Code and will not adversely affect the general plan. Please be aware that no decision is final until a decision letter is issued. Due to current backlogs, decision letters may take up to 2 months to complete from the date of this hearing. If anyone would like to receive a copy of a decision letter, please complete the sign-up sheet located at the far wall and provide your contact and mailing information. Regarding the appeal of variance decisions, the zoning administrator's action to grant or deny a variance application may be appealed to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the date of the decision letter. And again, no decision is final until that letter is issued. Private conversations can be very disruptive to the hearing, so please conduct all of those conversations outside of the hearing room. The next variance hearing is scheduled for April 25th, 2018. And audio recordings of variance hearings are available on the Planning Department's website as a link on the hearing agenda for hearings on or after January 1st, 2011. So we will move on to today's calendar. Item 1 for 1863 Mission Street is proposed to be continued to Thursday, May 10th for a joint hearing with the Planning Commission where they will consider a request for a discretionary review. Also, going out of order, item 11 on the regular calendar today for 11 Gladys Street will now also be subject to a request for discretionary review, so it will be continued indefinitely and then re-noticed in conjunction with the discretionary review hearing. Is there any public comment on the proposed continuance of these 2 cases? Sure. This is just on the continuance of those 2 cases, if you have comment. Sure.
Can you approach the mic, yeah, please come. So we can record you?
I guess I'm the only one here for that. I never received a notice that we're in continuance.
Which item are you speaking of?
11 Gladys.
Right. Okay. So we got the information yesterday, and the planner sent an email to the applicant and the people.
You'll let me know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure. Is there any other comment on the proposed continuances?
Sorry, my hearing's not too good. Sure. Are we talking about the first one or the regular now?
Yeah, we're just looking at the item on the continuance calendar for Mission Street.
We're still on item 1.
Okay, not the right.
Yeah, we're not quite to the regular calendar yet. Thank you. Any other comment on the items for continuance? Okay, seeing none, those items will be continued. We'll move on to the consent calendar. There are 3 cases proposed on the consent calendar. These items are for item 2 for 27 Presidio Terrace, item number 3 for 461 to 465 Sanchez Street, and item number 4 for 610 Gates Street. Again, items on the consent calendar are matters considered routine by the zoning administrator. If anyone would like to speak to any of these items, please step forward now. Otherwise, these items will be granted. Okay, seeing no public comment, we will move on from the consent item. Consent calendar, those items will be considered granted, and we will move to the regular calendar.
On our regular calendar, item number 5, case number 2014.1496 VAR, 531 33rd Avenue, front setback variance sought. Project sponsor for this project, will you please approach the mic? You have 5 minutes.
Good morning, Mr. Teague and Madam Secretary. Reza Kushnevisan, SIA Consulting. The project before you is a proposed two-unit building that was under a building permit issued back in 2017. The proposed scope of work under that permit was a horizontal vertical addition to this existing single-family home. This is before the construction got started. The current home, or as it stood before, was constructed into the required front yard by almost 2 feet 11 inches. This is the section of the existing building. And the portion in the front, beyond the average line, we are looking at over here. This is the area that was part of the original building. The building was constructed back in 1908, and this gable roof and raised entry has been there ever since. Under the 2016 permit, the project deemed non-historical when got a HRE, and the department classified it as C, and a vertical horizontal addition was performed to the project. As such, the front gable roof remained, mostly due to the fact that it was in the required front yard. And the architect back then worked with the planning department and had this approved. During the construction, due to lack of knowledge and miscommunication, this gable roof was demolished without a benefit of a permit. So they went over the scope of the approved plan. Notice of violation was issued, and we were retained to take over the project and bring this back to what was originally approved. Due to the amount of the demolition that occurred, now this front portion of this house is non-conforming because it was gone and rebuilt. And we are here to hopefully get this back and approved under this variance. Not granting this, you know, would reduce the size of this two-unit building, and it would have to go through one more round of process. And the building has been boarded up under construction for, I guess, about a couple of years, and we are hoping to fix this eyesore. It is long past due, and bring this back into conformance. I'm available for any comments you may have. Thank you.
Yeah, just very quickly, to be super clear, the proposal is to take it back to the approved state with the gabled roof?
That's right.
Okay, thank you. Is there any public comment on this item?
My name is Paul Conker. I'm in the neighborhood, 5 37 33rd Avenue. That's the diagram just shown now. And they make it very clear on here that that line of the existing building is level with the front face there of the neighboring building. When they've actually done the amendment and taken it back, the actual decking or the existing floor on floor three extends about 32 inches forward from the neighbouring property, which doesn't conform with the plans. I don't know whether that's going to be addressed. It's clear both on there and on the original plan that that should have been in line. It's the level of the building is higher than ours, even though that there's a grade and it starts lower. That may or may not be correct, but it creates this sort of effect where people now can stand at the front of the neighbouring building overlooking us at a much higher level, which impinges on the sort of security aspect of the building and also sort of privacy. At the rear of the building, they've extended out sort of on a two sort of step. That is the existing line, and then they've taken it out further another couple of feet along the length of the rear deck. The issue we have as a neighbour, we have windows here that people now can stand and look directly into the bathroom on our property, standing just at this level here and from the rear. And the whole building was initially permitted as a rebuild, and it was actually changed to a modification, and then they actually went ahead and rebuilt completely from scratch, which may or may not be permitted. But they built still too far forward to the front line of the building, and there's extended on the rear more than on the plans.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item? Okay. Project sponsor, you have 3 minutes for rebuttal, if you like.
Thank you. We are, again, you know, we are here to return this project to its originally approved state. That was approved back in 2016 with neighborhood notice and all that. Any portion of this building that goes beyond that, you know, is going to get demolished and be returned to where it needs to go.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. This is an interesting project. Typically, when this happens, we see applicants come in and request to get an approval for what they've actually built, not and a variance to go back and actually make the plans match what was approved. So this is kind of refreshing, actually. We will take note that there may be additional inconsistencies, and we will work with the sponsor to make sure that all inconsistencies are addressed in the new permitting and through this variance. But otherwise, I intend to grant the variance as proposed. Thank you.
Moving to item number 6, case number 2016-010340 VAR, 500 Turk Street, active ground floor, bay windows, rear yard modification, and exposure variances sought. Project sponsor for this case, would you please approach the mic? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Possible to use the
computer? Sure.
Thank you. my name is Daniel Simons. I'm with David Baker Architects. We're the architecture firm on the project. And 500 Turk is 100% affordable, supportive housing. And all of the variances that we are requesting are really about maximizing the potential to build affordable housing. So I'm just going to run through a couple of diagrams that explain what we're asking for. The first is the active ground floor. So, you know, with permanently supportive affordable housing, we only have certain programmatic uses. We have a lot of office space. We have a certain amount of retail. And then there's a certain amount of service space that's required to be adjacent to the public right-of-way by all the various utilities that provide services to us. So we've really pushed the lobby and the offices and the retail to the perimeter as best we can. We recognize that in the original design submission that there was some concern about the look of those spaces, and we're more than happy to work with the planning department on the aesthetics of the office space to make sure it sort of has the feel of an active use. But we really don't have a lot of flexibility in terms of the actual use. So the plan would stay the same, but we're willing to sort of modify the aesthetics of it. Then I'm just going to talk a little bit about the bay. This is our typical bay that's allowed in San Francisco. Each bay is about 36 square feet. Here's the project. And if we were to do kind of the maximum number of bays that would be allowed per code, we would have this many bays, which is about 200 square feet on each frontage that the building could project over the public right-of-way. We're proposing actually quite a bit less than that, but in a different configuration. So the end result is that on one frontage, we'd have 121 square feet. On the other frontage, we'd have 75 square feet, as opposed to close to the 200 that would be allowed if they were in different configuration. And most of the reason that we're doing this is really just about one three-bedroom unit. We're trying to get you know, as many family-size units as we can in this project, and it's a tight site. So of the, you know, square footage that we're asking, I think like 155 square feet of it is actually being added just to this one particular unit. So it's really about getting that three bedroom on the corner to work. Then we're also asking for a rear yard. The code complying rear yard would be 25% of the lot area. As it's a corner lot, that's not necessarily a desirable configuration from an urban design point of view. Also would be sort of challenging in terms of the configuration of the building. We're proposing to have basically an identical square footage of area just configured in the back corner of the site as opposed to along one length of it. So we're not reducing the amount of rear yard. We're just putting it in a slightly different location. In terms of required open space, it's pretty similar. We are providing in that rear yard as much square footage as we would need for open space. It's just that there are certain dimensional constraints with shading of that rear yard that we don't comply with, but it's the same amount. So we're not reducing the amount. We're just we're asking for some lenience on terms of basically the definition of inner court with the shading from our proposed project. Unit exposure. There are some units down at the ground at the lower few floors that don't open out onto an area that's large enough. Again, it's a relatively small, less than 10% of the overall units, and again, they do open out onto a pretty nice large courtyard. It's just not quite code complying in terms of its definition. And that's it. Take any questions.
Sure. Can you elaborate a little bit on the services provided in the building? And you mentioned that they need to be where they are located due to utilities, maybe other issues.
Yeah.
Because I know one thought was, you know, is it possible to internalize those a little bit and have those potentially front on the courtyard and move some of the units along that Larkin Street ground floor? But I just wonder if you could address that a little bit in terms of feasibility or desirability.
Yeah. So the way So there's the retail, which is pretty straightforward. We put that on Turk because we felt like that was the better retail street. And then the dark gray is just like, you know, electrical rooms and other stuff that we kind of don't have control over. So really what we what it comes down to is that the yellow is lobby, and the lobby is the primary entrance to the space, and the property management suite, which is just to the south of that lobby, needs to have visual control over that lobby. So the idea is that, you know, all the property management folks see who's coming and going and make sure that nothing is happening that's bad. They also have visual, they can kind of see the elevators to make sure that they have kind of visual control over that. The pink offices to the north are for the services. So that's all the social services that will be providing the on-site counseling. And again, the idea is really to make it so that that's easily accessible to that front, that people can kind of see who's coming and going and they can access those services if they need them. The only space that we really have that could move to the street is the large community room. But in fact, we really want that community room to open out onto the courtyard to expand its usability. And if we moved it to the street, it wouldn't have direct access to the courtyard.
Okay, thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing no public comment, I will close the public comment. I think this is obviously a very good project overall. I tend to be supportive of the rear yard and open space and exposure variances because they are kind of domino variances from the rear yard, which is kind of only not co-complying, mostly due to a technicality, and still in practice is very functional and very much meets the intent of the code. The active space and the bay window variances are, you know, generally for any project more challenging, and they're challenging from the findings perspective and from a design perspective. And so I definitely want to take some more time to review those in detail. And so I'm, you know, generally supportive overall of the other variances, and I want to take the active use and the bay window variances under advisement. Thank you.
Moving to item number 7, case number 2016-014032-VAR, 1085 Cap Street, rear yard, open space, and exposure, variances sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes.
Thank you.
You're good.
Good morning. My name is Jared Kuykendall. I'm the project architect with Studio 797. We're here today to talk about our proposed two-unit building in the rear yard of 1085 Cap Street. We're seeking variances for construction in the rear yard, as well as addressing deficiencies in open space and exposure. First, I want to talk about the rear yard. You can see in this diagram that the overall pattern language of the neighborhood leans towards structures in the rear yard, as well as lot coverage that greatly exceeds the current conditions at 1085 Cap Street. These existing conditions range in size from one-story garages to multi-story, multi-family residential. We feel our proposal here at 1085 Cap is consistent with the overall pattern along Cypress. Further, we feel that the existing conditions on other properties provide multiple avenues to add dwelling units, whether that's through accessory dwelling, the accessory dwelling unit program, or other additions that would be consistent with the overall zoning goals. 1085 doesn't have this same option. Our only way to add units is through construction in the rear yard. As for open space, you can see here the existing ground floor units. There are two ground floor units who share this 1,100 square foot rear yard. Only the ground floor units have access to that yard. The upper two units have share a 300 square foot roof deck. We are proposing to retain that 300 square foot roof deck utilized by the upper two units as is, and then provide a shared courtyard of approximately 390 square feet utilized by the two ground floor units. The two new units that are being added in the rear yard have their own private roof decks, so they are taken care of. Now, we're actually required to provide 520 square feet of outdoor space for these four units. We exceed that. We provide 690 square feet. We just don't quite meet the dimensions required. We have a little over 11 feet deep for the roof deck. We have a 15-foot deep courtyard, but we have some obstructions into that, the bicycle parking for the two new units primarily. We did consider creating private outdoor space, which I guess would qualify. However, we felt that would impact the egress as well as just be a lesser quality of space. I mentioned egress. Currently, egress happens through a fire escape ladder and out into the rear yard. The rear yard is approximately 42 inches above grade. And so anybody that exits out the back will find themselves in a defensible space, but with no way out. They're waiting on emergency personnel to help them out. The proposal here includes a throughway so that anybody leaving through the back would be able to get out to Cypress Street and out to safety. This gate also provides access for emergency personnel to get in and take care of things. So we feel like the overall life safety of the building is improved through the addition of this structure. Finally, just want to touch on livability. I was just handed this morning 12 letters from neighbors. This includes owners and long-term tenants that are in support of the project. A similar project at 1069 Cap Street was approved a few years ago, and upon its completion, there was a decrease in vandalism, loitering, littering, and so forth. Everybody involved feels that the addition of this project near the entrance to Cypress Street will improve the livability by activating the corner, creating additional eyes on the street and people involved. So, again, thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you. Is there any public comment on this item?
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Zoning Administrator. Right. I'm here to support the project. Obviously, the project sponsor has done their outreach with the 12 letters of support, all from the immediate block. I'll begin my testimony by sharing a story about what's going on in our city right now. Obviously, there's a mayor's race, and each of the candidates are out trying to hustle and define and refine their message to the people. And in order to do that, they go out and hire these big fancy consulting firms. And what do the consulting firms do? They go out and spend a bunch of money doing polls. And when you look at the results of those polls, there's three very important items on the public's mind. It's the homelessness and dirty streets, affordability, and the property crimes. And I'm raising these issues and bringing them to your attention because it's in its own unique way, in its own very small way, this project addresses those three pressing items for their community. It puts the eyes and ears on the streets, more people monitoring Cypress Alleyway, and it creates two new units which will add to our city's housing supply. I respectfully urge that you approve the variance. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment on this item?
You also get 3 minutes, sir.
Pardon me?
You have 3 minutes.
Fine. Thank you and good morning. My name is Kevin and I'm the property owner at 1081 Cap Street. I'm directly adjacent on the north side of the proposed project. I enthusiastically support this project. I've been a property owner there for 30 years, and Joe and Mary's project will help to make this area better. support.
Thank you. Are there any other public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, I'll close the public comment. There's very clearly a bit of an exceptional, extraordinary circumstance here in the sense that there is no actual mid-block open space on this narrow block to actually kind of protect or enhance when it comes to issues of the purposes of the rear yard here. I would like to see more space between the buildings, but also recognize that this is a very tight lot, and the front building kind of is what it is. I think that a lot of the rationale that was laid out was correct, and I would intend to grant the variance.
Moving to item number 8, case number 2017-008436 VAR, 1467 Sanchez Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes.
Morning. Good morning. My name is Gary Lehrhaupt. I am the owner of 1467 Sanchez Street. Lived there since 2016 with my wife and three-year-old daughter. Very excited to improve upon the house, have an ability to have access to our rear yard from our deck. Was very excited. The block and the neighbors there are very warm people, and in fact, the neighbor directly on the property line where the staircase will live has submitted a letter in support of our variance application. He was here earlier. He had to step out for work, so that's a little unfortunate, but in general, I'm very excited as well to do the project. And then the other thing to mention was we basically just copied the variance application that was approved for our other neighbor back in 2002 to also have the same staircase from their deck down into their rear yard. Have with me Parvathy and Dylan here from William Duff Architects. I'll hand it over to them.
Dylan Parker, project architect for this project for William Duff Architects. Addressing the findings, the exceptional circumstances, I probably should preface this by saying this is a variance that is a component of an otherwise completely code-conforming addition, horizontal addition on two levels to the house. Which is here. So the addition to the house is... The addition to the house is kind of moves from here back, and then the stair variance and fills in the 5-foot required setback once we do the allowed bump out at two levels on the back. The exceptional circumstances that we're addressing is, we want to provide access from the main public space of the upper floor of the building down to the backyard. Within the room of the bump out below, which has the master bedroom suite below, if we were to provide this at the interior, it would make it kind of an untenable, unusable bedroom suite at any scale. So the variance seeks to take this to the exterior and place it in that required 5-foot setback around the edge of the bump out. Addressing the issues of hardship, both of the adjacent neighbors, which you can kind of diagrammatically see to the south, to the north, they have similar rear yard access for their public spaces within each of their dwellings, and it would feel like it's creating a commensurate situation to that is a good thing to do and fair. Also, although it's not really strictly required by the code for the building in terms of life safety, the provision of this stair does create a second means of egress down to a nearly 30-foot deep rear yard. So in the event of any kind of a fire emergency or otherwise, it does actually increase the safety quality of the overall building. And finding number 3, enjoyment of substantial property light. Right, as we noted before, both of the adjacent neighbors have this kind of access from their units. And in fact, the neighbor to the north, as Gary noted, there was in 2002, they sought and were granted this exact same variance. They have a deck, which is very similar to the one we're providing, over living space. Their upper floor living space gets out onto the patio and a stair access down to their own backyard. And that's right over here. We have, in terms of preservation, not being detrimental to the public nor the vicinity, the variance is in the rear yard, so it's not visible from the public right of way, and it's actually not really going to be visible from any of the adjacent properties. This is the property to the north, and I think you can tell that from this backyard view from the subject property, the variance that they sought in 2002, which has the stair running down over here, is nearly invisible. That stair projects out past their rear yard bump out from the other side of the property. All right. That's this in plan right there, that extension of their rear yard access stair. From the other side, the neighbor to the south has a privacy wall in this location, so the stair, which will be further out than this, this is the existing condition. It doesn't show the new code-conforming construction. But the privacy wall for the neighbor to the south will actually completely block their view down onto the stairway that drops down through the space. We do have in hand a letter from the neighbor in support, and was unable to come in and speak, but this is included in the package with the application here. And harmony with the general purpose and intent of the code. We feel that the variance is consistent with the general intent of the applicable code. The you know, the reality of it is it's a stair occupying that slot. So, you know, we have a building mass beyond this, but the stair actually starts over on the building mass, and this portion of it is the variance. So it starts below the adjacent code-conforming mass and runs down and extends. But when as it extends past the bump out, it's, you know, it's stairs trailing away into the grade. Thank you.
Thank you. So any public comment on this item? Okay. Seeing none, I will close the public comment. Yeah, I'm going to look into this one a little bit further. I do want to look at the existing context a little bit further and look at the variance that was granted for the neighbor just to get more information before really coming down on a final decision. So I'll take this variance under advisement.
Thank you.
Moving to item number 9, case number 2016-012810VAR, 1715 Alabama Street, mass reduction variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Teague. My name is John Lum, and I'm the project architect for this project, and I wanted to quickly introduce our clients here.
Yeah, I'm Jason Hughes, the homeowner, and this is my family, my wife Kelly, my kids Maya and Julian. We lived in the house for 13 years, longtime residents of the city. My wife's family goes back to the early 1900s. When we moved in, there were only two of us. Our family has grown. We want to prepare for we've outgrown the house, but we also want to prepare for our aging parents and moving my mother-in-law into the house at some time in the future. And John will provide the details.
Great. So as you can see, our clients have two small kids, and they are planning to have their Kelly's mother move into the house. So the current house is tiny. It only includes 1,400 square feet of space with one bedroom upstairs, two bedrooms downstairs behind the garage. It's absolutely dysfunctional for their family needs right now. They desire a home with three bedrooms on one level plus a small sitting room and bedroom suite for Kelly's mother. So the current house was constructed in 1950 and is wedged in between two Victorian-era homes that each have three stories. Over half of the homes on the block have three stories, so obviously adding to this house, it made sense to add a third floor. It's a very odd house because it's a very small two-story house with a flat roof. So the overall planning goals of the city is to produce housing that's geared towards families, and that's where the recent study just shows that we're severely lacking in three-bedroom units plus. So the goals of our clients will match actually basically the general use plan of the city. The mass reduction aspect of the Bernal Heights Code is complicated, and its interpretation has evolved through the years. We understand the code was set up to kind of maintain the character of Bernal Heights, its village quality, but enhance the way that it's been interpreted is more punitive to people, especially when a project is non-conforming. So the issue here is that the existing mass reduction requirement would preclude us from having a family-style house with three bedrooms on one level. Exacerbating the issue with this mass reduction requirement is that the house currently sits in the front yard setback, and it adds an additional 260 square feet to the mass reduction requirements of 650 square feet, which would require us to reduce the total project by 910 square feet. So to comply with code without seeking a variance, we would be restricted to a third floor addition of only 462 square feet, which would allow us to add a third floor master bedroom and bathroom, but certainly would not create a functional house for young children, because the desire is, again, to have three bedrooms on one level, and it still doesn't even address the need for a fourth bedroom for Kelly's mother. So we originally did submit a project that was smaller, trying to meet the mass reduction on the first and second floors while keeping the third floor layout to accommodate the three bedrooms on one level requirement, but could not meet the mass reduction requirements. We had an open deck at the main level at the rear, but the RDAT came back with a new requirement that decks must be set back 5 feet from the side yard setback, so in essence making them functionally useless. So we decided to replace these open decks, the one in the rear, with habitable space, adding a breakfast room and a walk-in closet for the master. We're currently 735 square feet over the 650 square feet required mass reduction, hence 85 square feet over that reduction. We did reduce the overall mass, though, by 175 square feet. The proposed addition is fairly modest. Excluding the garage, we are proposing a total of 1,386 square feet of additional condition space. The first floor, we are adding 226 square feet, second floor, 296 square feet, and the third floor, due to the three bedrooms, 864 square feet. We note that the third floor addition and rear addition meet all other aspects of the Bernal Heights in San Francisco Planning Code, less than 30 feet tall, setback in the front and the rear, and aligns with the rear facades of both adjacent neighbors. The Bernal Heights Council supported our initial submittal, and which, as I said, was modified with the filling in of the rear deck. I can explain the difference here if you need further information on that. The south neighbor at 1717 Alabama, who is most affected, actually has written a letter of support, contrary to a letter that you received. We also have another neighbor in the neighborhood at 1705 Alabama who's written a letter of support. I know that the north neighbor is here to comment, and we can address those comments after they present. There was another neighbor around the corner on Montcalm who expressed concern about light, but they have a very large tree in their rear yard. We're not really sure what the concern is on that effect. Regardless, these concerns have been raised. The variance does not actually, would not affect, the granting of the variance would not affect the third floor addition or the effects that these neighbors are concerned about. I'd like to also note that there was a similar project with the third floor addition at 1719 Alabama that was approved 2 years ago with 2578 square feet, approved by Scott Sanchez, same request for a variance due to the mass reduction.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do any public comment on this item?
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Teague. I have a copy of the letter from the Bernal Heights East Slope Design Review Board that I'm submitting. I'm here as a member of the Design Review Board, and our letter mentions two neighbors who are affected by this proposal in a certain way as far as having their windows obliterated by renovation of this property. And secondly, we are concerned about the mass reduction. If you look at 32 square feet and 650 square feet, it seems tremendous because, in essence, Section 242 was devised to have some effect about how big houses in Bernal Heights could be built. And one of the ways to do that was have mass reduction. And apparently, from the presentation, you get a chance to add a third floor and more room for your family or whatever, but the Section 242 didn't envision that you're going to be able to go up and out in the same project. You get a choice. And finally, it doesn't seem like there's any extraordinary circumstances for this proposal. So I have to say that the Design Review Board would not have actually approved or supported the proposal that you're seeing. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any other public comment on this item?
Good morning, Mr. Teague. My name is Norma Garcia. I'm the homeowner at 329-331 Montcalm Street. My husband and I have lived in this house with our family since 2000. Prior to that, we were owners of a smaller house in Bernal Heights on Bonview Street. When our children grew and we needed more space, we moved to a larger home. That was our solution to handling how the space needs for a growing family. And our home is a multi-generational home. Our sons are now young men. I hope to one day be that elder parent who continues to live in the multi-generational home with my sons and their children in the future. One of the things we love about our home is the neighborhood character and our backyard. It's sunny, it's bright, it's home to a huge wisteria dating back to the late 1800s, and it brightens the neighborhood. And I think everyone would agree that our home, our garden, is an oasis in the city, a rare oasis. The rear of the home at 1715 faces my backyard. Yes, it's true, there are trees that are planted in the backyard, but trees aren't solid, walls are. As currently proposed, the home at 1715 is a massive structure on a small lot, and it appears much larger than the design first previewed in September 2016 at the Bernal Heights Design Review Board meeting. It's deeply concerning that the design has failed to achieve the mandatory deletion of 650 square feet of usable space as required by Section 242(e)(3). Now, I heard the comment about how difficult it is to comply with Section 242. And quite frankly, the solution for dealing with laws that one believes are problematic are to change the laws, not to avoid enforcement of those laws. And as a result, what we're seeing here is that this particular structure as currently proposed violates community standards and the law. And if allowed to go forward as currently configured, it will unnecessarily block daylight, cast shadows upon my property, invade privacy from high-level decks that look into bedroom windows, and act as a sound amphitheater, amplifying noise in the rear yard across adjacent properties. I would submit to you that the variance should be denied as currently presented. There are no exceptional or extraordinary circumstances. Literal enforcement results in no hardship. There are options. There are other properties available. It is not necessary for enjoyment. Section 242 envisions 2,150 square feet as being sufficient for that, and it materially disrupts my enjoyment of my property and that of my neighbors. I have a letter also from a neighbor at 1703 Alabama Street, and I'd like to share that with you now. Thank you.
Again, thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item?
Good morning. My name is Roland Courtenay Bishop. I live at 1709 Alabama Street, which is the, I'm the northern neighbor of Kelly and Jason. I've been there since 1988. And I've seen a lot of building and renovation in the neighborhood. And I'm not opposed to neighbors building. Extending their existing homes or building new homes even. There are a lot of empty lots there. And, you know, I also very much support the opportunity of the review board, the East Slope Review Board, which offers local residents that opportunity to have their say about what their environment looks like. I find one of the things about this is, initially we had some support of it. It was a considerably smaller at the back. It has now extended at the back to create more shadow over my property and over my neighbor's property to the east. There are overlooking decks, as a lot of which has already been said. And I would like to see a considerable reduction in the current square footage, and would like to put forward that the variance is denied. However, and obviously maybe redesigned, I personally find it rather insensitive to the historic Bernal Heights neighborhood. they've absolutely maximized every square footage of volume and airspace. This is a home that was, yes, it may be for a large family, for sure, if in-laws come to live. It has three living rooms, three large living rooms, as well as four bedrooms and four bathrooms, as you can see on the plan. My greatest concern is I spend all my time in my backyard. I spend my time in the back, in the house, in the back. I don't spend it in the front. That's where my family and myself have the most, it has the most impact. It's reducing sunlight, casting long shadows, and I have presented a letter, which you have on file, that requests a sun study, sun and shadow study for the year round, and reduction in the volume of the building. I would...
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
...like to finish by saying thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, the project sponsor has 3 minutes for rebuttal.
So in countering the neighbor on Mount Calm, certainly this is why we're seeking a variance. We're not trying to do anything illegally. This is why we're seeking a variance. So and it's also interesting just to understand both of these neighbors currently occupy three-story homes. So they're in protest of that. Just to give some context to this project as it was initiated, our interpretation of the Bernal Heights Council or Bernal Heights Code excluded actually, we were removing square footages on the ground floor and also the second floor per what our understanding of the code was, and actually after conversations with Mr. Milner there, who actually helped write the code, so it was very informative. We took about 6 months with the planning department to finally have them issue actually an interpretation that outdoor areas that are covered do need to be included in the mass and cannot be used for the mass reduction portion there. So our original project actually was about 650 square feet smaller in per that interpretation. There was also, in regards to the non-conforming portion, which is the 240 square feet or approximately, or 260, that also was not supposed to be used as a punitive measure for homes that are non-conforming. So in essence, we were trying to work within the current code to actually create, as we said, a functional house for the neighbors or for our clients. Ultimately, it was decided that we should seek a variance, and so we've designed the house. I think materially, there is not going to be any difference between this house if it gets smaller in respects to the third floor or the blocking of the property line window of the next door neighbor, Roland, I'm sorry, your last name. But this is the window that is being affected by this addition, this window here. In respects to the neighbor on Mount Calm, this is the view from our client's deck, and you can see this very large tree. So her third floor or three-story house is not visible due to the tree, which, of course, we have done a sun study. There is minimal effect to the property, but, of course, there always is effect if someone adds a third floor. So, in essence, the concerns, again, in regards to the mass production, I think are will not be addressed by, I mean, those concerns are not actually the concerns that actually will address their concerns about light or sunlight onto the property, because there will be a third floor regardless of the size of the house. But again, what we're trying to do is accommodate this family. So thank you.
Thank you. Would you mind just speaking to the issue of kind of the proposal and I assume the perceived need for the additional common space in terms of family rooms, living rooms,
yes,
and so on?
So we did, interesting enough, at the very tail end of this, when we got our RDAT requirements, there was a, just let me just show you here on the back facade here. see here. So this area with the wood, that actually was an open deck, and then the RDAC came back and said, you need to provide a 6 or 5 foot setback for that deck. So instead of an outdoor area, it just became useless to have a 6 foot wide deck because it's 11 foot wide. So we were trying to give them a slight, small outdoor area, but then the RDAT said we had to put a planter here. So it was like, well, this doesn't make any sense at all. So that's why we decided to fill it in. Of course, as we this neighbor here, who is most affected by that, is in support of the project.
Okay. I was kind of referring more to, there was a comment made that there were three living rooms. And there's multiple interior rooms that are common rooms.
Well, there's a slight, small formal sitting room and dining room in the front of the house. Mm-hmm. And then there's a great room for, you know, the kids and family, most of it. And then downstairs, there is a family room, but that's, again, being used for Kelly's mother. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, she is planning to move in. And so the thought was, again, that area there also is area that is, we actually were making smaller in order to get our mass reduction. But again, planning said that we could not remove mass from that lower floor and have it count, because there's building above it.
Sure. Okay. Thank you very much. So as those of you involved may know, there was kind of a flurry of letters and emails on this case in the last day or so. I have not had a chance to review all of those in detail. And this is a fairly challenging case. So I'm going to take this under advisement and review it in more detail. Thank you.
Moving to item number 10, case number 2017-007625 VAR, 1348 Hampshire Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. My name is Andy Rogers. I'm the architect for this project. We're requesting a variance, a rear yard setback variance, because we would like to construct a new stair that goes into the required rear yard setback. There's several objectives for this project. One is to correct a rather unsafe condition right now. The current stair does not meet code, both in terms of the configuration of the treads. It has winder stairs, and also a guardrail that does not meet code due to the spacing. The other objective, outside of making it a safe stair for the upstairs unit, it's a two-family house, is to create as much usable outdoor space for both units as possible. And you can see from this drawing, this is the existing condition. It shows the winder stairs, and it shows the deck on the upper level. And this shows our proposal, which is a wider, both a wider deck, as well as the stair that's right up against the property line. Having the stair up against the property line and having it be a straight run stair accomplishes it being code compliant and safer for the occupants. It also maximizes the outdoor space for both the upper and the lower unit. The deck is wider than it was previously by going all the way to the property line. And on the ground level, the deck there is both wider, and the rear yard is also more usable. I do understand that subsequent to our submitting this plan, there has been a planning commission mandate to stay further off of the property lines for such situations. But I want to point out that when we pursued this project and got an initial read from the planning staff, that was not in place. And it seemed that what we're proposing was both reasonable and compliant with what the Planning Commission, with their position at that time. So that is pretty much it. We did have a pre-application meeting. We did not hear from any of the neighbors. As best we can tell, there are no objections. We think that the only neighbors that are really affected in this case are those to the north, and we have not heard from them. So that's pretty much it. I wanted to introduce my client, who's the owner of the house. They've been there for a while. They live in the lower unit, and they're just trying to create more space and a safe condition for their growing family. So this is Jonathan.
Hi, good morning. Andy said, we have a 10-month-old baby, and we're trying to make this a much safer home for her and increase the space. And by opening up the staircase, we're allowing also more sunlight to come into the house. The back room is actually the kitchen, which is now very blocked from the staircase that is winding. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, close the public comment. I wanted to double check and make sure that the firewall was on the plans.
Oh, right.
It does appear that there is. Sometimes we get these with no firewalls, and then after they get their variance, they have to go.
Oh, and go back for the firewall.
They get the firewall, and then we have to get a new variance for the firewall itself. So I just wanted to double check and make sure that was there.
Understood. I believe that it is.
And the neighbor that would be adjacent to that firewall, not heard anything from them at all?
No.
Okay. Mm-mm. Interesting. Okay.
Their house is set a little bit backwards, it doesn't affect them that much.
I do, it is a fairly substantial firewall on that line. And to the south, I'm kind of surprised we didn't hear at least something from the occupants or the owners of that building, which I guess is a multi-unit building.
South?
I think he's talking about the neighbors to the north.
Yes. Yeah. I'm talking about the property line that would be shared with the firewall.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we went through all of the procedures.
I mean, the deck.
I want to make sure I'm completely understanding the floor plan here. So the ground floor space will have access to the rear yard through the kind of stairs on grade at the south property line, correct?
Yeah. Correct.
And then it's ground floor, first floor. And the first floor will have this deck that will have the catwalk.
Correct.
Access. Yep. And so the stairs are for access from the third floor. Dad, can you, is the third floor, there's two units in the building, is the third floor a flat in and of itself?
Correct. So yeah.
So the bottom two floors are connected
together
as the other unit.
Okay. Correct. Yeah. Yeah. So this is the egress for the upper unit as well.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you for that.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I think obviously we want to be able to allow access from the third floor to the rear yard to that from that unit. I mean, that they're required to have access to meet open space requirements.
Correct.
Having new and updated stairs are a safety issue. That's obviously an upgrade. I'm kind of surprised that the firewall is not drawing any comment at all. But It doesn't appear that it has. Are there any concerns on that? So I would be inclined to grant the variance.
Great. Thank you, Corey. Appreciate it.
Again, since item number 11, this is case number 2015-004717 VAR 11 Gladys Street, has been continued. So we're moving to item number 12, case number 2017-009779 VAR 871 Cap Street, exposure variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You need the...
Yes, be sent to the administrator. My name is Van Lee, and I am the project architect. The case in front of you is two additional dwelling unit on the first floor, and we are seeking for unit exposures variance. Exposure variance need a minimum of 15 feet deep of exposure, and in this project, our deepest one is 13.2 inches, so we are about 1 foot some short of the main exposure. But other than that, the rear unit has unobstructed 8 feet exposure wrapped around the both sides. And the front unit also have another exposure, which is unobstructed 8 feet deep, wrapped around the side of the front of the unit. So I believe this wraparound exposure could justify the foot 10 inches short in depth, but instead we have a wraparound width of exposure to every individual room of the unit. So hopefully this will justify. Thank you. By the way, the project owners are here too in case you have any particular question.
Okay, thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, I will close the public comment. And if you can just give me a moment, I was taking a quick look at one thing here. And are these, to the project sponsor, are these two existing units that are being legalized?
No, this is a newly installed ADU. Yeah. At the result of the seismic upgrade.
Okay. Well, can you tell me what the building was used for in the past?
The front unit has been the parking garage, and then the rear unit has been just a storage. The front unit, we still preserve the two parking space. The rear storage, we have to excavate down about a foot or so in order to achieve the minimum ceiling height.
Gotcha, okay. Okay, thank you. I'm going to give this one a closer look, take it under advisement. Okay.
Thank you.
Moving to item number 13, case number 2017-005226 VAR, 1409 South Venice Avenue, exposure variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes.
Hi, I'm David Cumby, the architect for 1409 South Van Ness. This shows up a little bit here. So the project is a proposed accessory dwelling unit in the ground floor of an existing four-story, nine-unit apartment building. It's a two-bedroom unit. The rear yard is 12 feet 4 inches deep by 32 and a half feet long. So we're just a little short of the depth of 15. The rear yard pattern in the area, both to the north and the south, they have relatively shallow rear yards of a similar dimension. And please note also this property has a 6-foot side yard setback, and the property to the south is a mirror image of this building, so there is a good-sized exposure to that south side as well, given the conditions of the adjacent property. And again, our pattern of rear yard dimension is similar to the properties to the north and the south. We're, of course, not changing the envelope of the building because it's an ADU, so there's really no detrimental effect to any other properties. The use is, of course, consistent with the area as it's a residential use. I hope that you grant the variance for exposure. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, I will close the public hearing. I think that having the extra side setback is definitely helpful, especially when it's mirrored with the adjacent property. I do want to kind of take a little more time to take a look at this. I'll also take this one under advisement. Thank you.
Moving to our last item, case number 2017-007412-BAR, 1457 to 1467, Fulton Street, rear yard variance off.
Hi, my name is Walker Conley. I'm the owner of 1457 Fulton Street. It's one unit of a 6-unit building. We're seeking a variance for the design of our new rear deck. Just a little bit of history. I purchased the building over 5 years ago, and the deck was in place with the design that we're currently proposing. As it turns out, there were many issues with the building, construction defects. We had the guy who kind of redid a lot of the building before we bought it, did a lot of bad things, lots of unpermitted work, and one of those was the deck. It was also the siding, the bathrooms all had bad shower pans. I mean, it was a 2-year-long lawsuit, recovery, and fixing all of the issues with the house. And the deck is now like the last piece of the puzzle. We used the deck to support scaffolding, to redo the siding so that it was up to code. And so it was damaged. And so we had to tear it down. We would like to rebuild it back to where it was when we bought the building in its current design and depth. The deck itself is where I spend about 90% of my time when it's light out. It's just like another room of the house. The variance isn't for the deck itself. It's for the depth of the deck, just given the total length of the house. You know, the house itself doesn't get a lot of natural light, given the way the neighbors are configured. So this is where we spend, you know, the majority of our time because it's south facing. It gets a lot of nice light. It's quiet back there. It's just a cherished place that we would like to have back. And it's the last kind of piece of the puzzle to make us whole to align with what we thought we were buying when we bought the house. Everything else has kind of been fixed, thankfully. So, anything I should add, Bill?
William Paschalinski, architect. I just want to mention briefly the issue came up about the firewalls. It's an R2 occupancy as such that the code requires solid walls. On an R2, 5 feet from the where it's less than 5 feet, the reason we put the walls where they are, if you can see in the elevations and the pictures, are that there are doors there. So, but however, the deck extends out 9 feet. As far as the code's required, we need a 3-foot space in front of the doors. So, as you know, we easily could push the rest of it back to the 5-foot setback, the last, you know, about six feet of it, and put an open railing in there. Also, the deck itself is pretty short. It's only about six feet above the grade approximately, and even to top a railing would be a total of 9.5 feet, which is about 1.5 feet above where a legal fence could go. Again, having practiced in the city for a long, long time, people really do love their decks, really get a lot of usage out of it. I think it's different having the deck at the same level as your living unit in terms of enjoying them. So, and that's the reason, I think, partially for the size of it. Thank you.
I'll just add one thing. The land that's below the deck and the deck layout itself is drawn out in the TIC agreement. So it's part of like my ownership in the TIC agreement, like that exact dimension. Same with the neighbor, who's also, you know, I'm speaking on behalf of them, so we can build the whole deck. Thank you.
Thank you. I wanted to just ask about that. Yeah, some multiple unit building, but it looks like this is only accessible from 2 units that are on that level. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's some stairs that would go down into the shared yard, exactly. But my neighbors, I let them store lawnmowers and outdoor furniture below the deck. Right now it's dirt. We're intending to just put gravel down there so it's a little cleaner. So while it is my kind of deeded space, the area below the deck I share with my neighbors just out of courtesy. We all get along really well. I mean, we've been through this lawsuit. Was like we were spending, I can't even tell you how much money a month together as a unit to try to like get all these things resolved. And they're all super supportive of having this be like the last thing that we resolve. So,
yeah, thank you. And there aren't floor plans, but so it looks like there are kind of man doors on each east and west property line. I'm assuming those are corridors that provide access for the other units into the rear.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yep, exactly.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah, I think this is all fairly minor. It's kind of an unusual circumstance. And the issues with the firewalls and the impacts on the existing doors and the fact that that level is not flush with grade and providing, you know, more separate open space on a property with multiple units, that all makes sense to me, and I would intend to grant the variance.
Thank you very much.
That's the last item. Mr. Zia.
Is there anyone here who would like to speak public comment on an item that was not on this calendar?
No. Really happy, thank you.
Seeing none, I will close that public hearing and adjourn the meeting.
Next hearing would be April 25th.
I said that at the beginning.